This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today is March 13th. We're still a couple weeks away from the regular season, and this week has introduced injuries all around the league, and the Pirates are not immune to this. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Jake is not going to be with us tonight. He's stuck at work closing. So you just get me. But we've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of injuries around the league. Spring breakout games coming. Pirates got some injuries this week. David Bednar got smacked around in the game today. The Pirates in general did. And so there's a lot to talk about. Plenty for us to talk about today. What is today? Oh, you know what? The show comes out for the audio listeners on
Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
There you go. Get your Hawaiian shirts out. It is Friday. And Friday is a doubleheader for the Pirates. That's good, right? That's good. We got the spring breakout game. I think the spring breakout game is at 1, and then the Pirates play tomorrow evening against the Yankees. Is that right? Do I have that right? I thought I opened the schedule at one point. But I think they play against the Yankees tomorrow night. They do. Tigers. Ha! They play the Tigers tomorrow. So we got the prospects, the Pirates prospects, and Phillies prospects. RIP poop games. If you know, you know. If you don't, I guess I'll say it. The Phillies broadcast used to have the P and then 0-0 score and then the other P. The Phillies P followed by the Pirates P. And they changed their score bug this year, so no more of that. Tomorrow's game is on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, the breakout game is on MLB Network. And then the game tomorrow evening is on SMP. So yeah, you'll be able to watch two games tomorrow. Doug, how'd you get tomorrow off? A little Friday off there. Anyway, what do we want to talk about first? We have a couple Bednar comments. Maybe we start with Bednar. Bednar is a little shaky today. And so let's get into that first, because I feel like that's going to be the front of everybody's mind, because we came into this spring kind of worried about David Bednar. Last year didn't quite go as planned. Obviously had a really good run in the middle of the season, but the beginning and the end, not so good. So from what I'm seeing today, game was not televised today again, but from what I'm seeing today, I am, there we go. Threw me off a little bit. From what I'm seeing today, David Bednar's curveball was kind of all over the place. That's what it looks like when you just look at the deal. His curveball was basically not being located at all. Every time he does something like that, teams are going to sit fastball. Exactly what looked like that happened. I mean, he starts with a walk, a 4-pitch weak single, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. The single that he hit wasn't even a strike. It was inside for a ball, not even a strike. First pitch double on the fastball, which actually was smoked, but the fastball was 97. So not like a major problem with the fastball there. And then a walk, some way off the plate, some way high. A weak ground out for fielder's choice. So like you can see, like so far we've got two walks and a bad pitch. And then the four pitch double, 96. And it was just not up, right? So it was on the outside part of the plate, hit for a double. And you got three runs in already. You got more guys on. Joey Wentz comes in. You get an error by Triolo. A single scores another run. Double scores the fifth run off Bednar. Wentz gets another one. And Wentz ends up giving up two more. And it was just, that was all it. So location looks bad. Everything else looks kind of fine. Bednar's been really good this spring. And so for him to come out and have a bad outing, mostly based off of location, forgive me for not being worried. If it happens again, we'll start worrying. But we've seen nothing but very good from David Bednar in his first several outings. It looks like his location was bad in this one. I didn't see anything else. I mean, what can you see? You're not watching the game, but I looked at StatCast. I'm looking at release point. I'm looking at what you can look at as far as break and everything. And there's not a whole lot right there that I mean, he just wasn't throwing the curveball for strikes. He wasn't getting any whiffs on anything. And that's what happens when the curveball's not good. The fastball's not going to be either. That's just it. His fastball had a couple of misses that were not up in the zone. Outside of that, it was pretty consistent. It's just not that. I'm just not worried yet. He didn't have his location today. Get back to the drawing board. Take a look at it. It's also, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much you want to give these guys. I mean, I don't know. You had a lot of veterans playing in a 2-hour away game, which doesn't happen a lot of times in the spring. And I know it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I don't want to try to give them a pass just because they had to go on a bus to somewhere, but whatever they had to do. So it's not that. It's just that, you know, location wasn't there. I think, what was it, 50, 40 pitches? Oh, man, I'm way off. Let me see. 26 pitches. He only threw 12 strikes. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're not in the zone at all, they're looking fastball in the zone, and that's all they're looking at. And Bednar oftentimes gets away with the fastball down the middle, or at least middle height, whether it's in or out. He gets away with that a lot, and that's because of the curveball. And if you're not throwing strikes, you're not going to get that by anybody. They're not fooled. They're sitting fastball. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the double that he threw, to Jose Miranda was the lowest fastball he threw of all of them. The rest of them up in the zone, or they were high. Velo's there. He threw a couple good curveballs. The rest of them, I mean, out of the zone, but way out of the zone. So, like I said, location, location, location. This one wasn't good. It's been good before this. When I look back, trying to look back at where we were the last time he pitched with StatCast. So there was the one game that was, I can't remember where it was at, but it was in Atlanta, not in Atlanta, but against Atlanta, and they don't have StatCast. So then you look back at his outing against the Yankees on the third, and the fastballs are tight. They're at the top of the zone. Everything looks good. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 curveballs. I guess some of those could be splitters. They don't really differentiate the color much. Of course, that could be my fault. Yeah, it's my fault. I have a dark mode thing that I turn on. There's a little bit of a difference there. So 2 splitters. One of them's actually kind of up. I don't actually like that. Got a foul ball on it. But then there's 3 curveballs kind of in a triangle that are in a pretty good location. And then 3 that are pretty far out, which are all balls. Like, he's not getting swings. They're mostly, I think they're all to lefties. Yeah, they were all to lefties. So he was just trying to basically get them all the way inside. And, but everything else looks pretty much there. You go back to today's game and you've just got so many of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that were essentially non-competitive curveballs. They're all curveballs. They're way out. He did throw 2 in the zone, both for called strikes. And that tells you right there, they're just sitting. They're not going to swing at the curveball. They're looking for the fastball. They're swinging at that. They're offering at that. And that's it. I'm just not. I mean, Dennis Santana didn't look good today either. So if we're counting it, let's do it. Joey Wentz looked bad, but Dennis Santana didn't look good either. His chart's all over the place. It doesn't look like there's any consistency. Maybe some with the fastball on glove side part of the plate, that most of those are off the plate, but they're probably close, right? So his four seam, glove side, a little bit off the plate, but other than that, kind of all over the place. Jared Jones, on the other hand, had absolutely no problems. No problems. The changeup is really starting to be a weapon for Jones. Not a lot of sinkers today, but quite a few changeups and missed high, maybe on one of them. There's so many pitch there. There might be some of them hidden, but missed high arm side on one changeup. The rest of them look really good. So, maybe getting some swing and miss on that too still. I'm seeing ball. There's a swinging strike down below the zone. There's a couple of these that are hidden kind of behind there. But that's Jared Jones looked great. The K's were there. What do you have? 4 strikeouts, 4 and a third innings, 64 pitches, 37 strikes. He walked a couple guys. Once again, 7 walks for the Pirates in this game. I mean, for whatever reason, location was a problem today. Santana throwing a walk in there himself. So, I don't know. It's one game, man. I'm just not concerned. Just not concerned. So, yeah, I think it's good. Jones looks good. I think Bednar's fine. We'll see what he does next time. I don't see anybody in the chat yet talking about Matt Gorski hitting a home run. So I think we're learning a little bit. Matt Gorski hit a home run today. And I don't see anybody pining for it yet. He hit a homer off a guy who's pitched 4 total major league innings and had a 12-plus ERA in AAA last year. So keep pumping the brakes on Gorski. Let's not get too excited. I don't like saying stuff like that, but, truth is there. All right, before we get into the injuries, Braxton Ashcraft, Mike Burrows, Chase Sugart, Leover Peguero, and Manuel Valdez, Sungchae Chang, all optioned to Indianapolis. There it is. Bucko Mike's got me. Gorski, 450-foot bomb. So, there you go. Of non-roster guys, Isaac Mattson, Ryder Ryan, Eddie Yean, Aaron McKeithen, Omar Alfonso, Malcolm Nunez, reassigned to minor league spring training. I say Eddie Yean's name with a little bit of emphasis there because Eddie Yean has looked good. And we talked about it last week a little bit when we talked about the opposition quality stuff and listening to the fact that Eddie Yean hasn't really faced a whole lot of guys yet. But they're going to keep an eye on him. I mean, he's been very good. He'll probably continue to get opportunities to pitch in spring training, even though he's not at big league camp. There will probably be some opportunities for him. And I think that there's a good chance. I mean, we know how pitching works. We know how injuries work. We're going to talk about some of those. But I think there's a good chance Eddie Yean shows up in Pittsburgh at some point this season. There's certainly guys on the 40-man that he could move out of the way. And so I think that there's a legitimate shot this guy pushes his way into the major leagues this year. We'll see it play out, and we'll see how it goes. But I think everybody likes what they saw in spring, so I think that's a good thing. Bucko Mike says, by the looks of it, the Gorski ball is still orbiting around the yard. What's up, Pitt City? What says 2 weeks from today, Miami. Opening day, 2 weeks from today. Breeze flights are really cheap. I think you could actually get down to, not Miami, but you could get down to a Tampa game for $500 total. I know that number because we looked it up. It might cost. You could probably go to a game in Tampa. You could probably get to a game in Tampa with the Pirates Rays for less money than you might be able to get to Pittsburgh on the home opener against the Yankees. There's a chance it could be cheaper. Bucko Mike, 108.3 on that homer from Gorski too. I think if Spears was, or Spees, maybe, the pitcher, I think if he was going to get a shot, might have ruined it, giving up home runs to both Derek Hall and Matt Gorski in the same inning. Not a good look. Derek Hall raising that batting average up to 150 with that home run. So there you go. Pitt City What says actually flying down to a Tampa game the April 2nd, 148 round trip. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's, so you've got, I mean, the tickets aren't crazy expensive. You could get tickets for, like, I don't know, less than $50. And for a park that only holds 11,000, I feel like they could upcharge a little bit, and that's still where they're at. I mean, yeah, that's not bad. I'm interested. Dave says, nobody talking about your $550,000 bid on the Skeens card either. Yeah, no. No. Is it still there? Do we have an update on that? I mean, certainly this is going to go, this is going to creep closer to a million, right? Or go over a million? I would think so. I know earlier today it was around 550, but I don't know. Miles brings up Carter Binns retired today. Not big news. Affects catcher decisions. I don't think it affects catcher decisions. Was he in AAA all last year? I guess I didn't look that up. Did he spend the whole year in AAA? I'm going to look it up right now. No, he was mostly in Altoona last year. So I just feel like you're going to have, let's say Henry or Endy makes the team. I mean, you're going to have Jason DeLay and the other one in AAA. So I don't really think that it's, I don't think that it's a big deal as far as AAA goes. And there's more catchers that are coming up. I mean, Omar Alfonso, Abraham Gutierrez, we've seen. Plaz is probably a little further away, right? He's a little lower than that, but could he push his way to AA? I don't know, man. I think maybe that's why Carter Binns decided this. I mean, I know it was injury-based, but maybe there's a little bit of the fact that there's not much opportunity there for him either. I mean, his time in Altoona, he 193 with a 302 on base in 66 games. There's overall 206 last year. Carter Binns, that was from Seattle, right? We got that. What deal was that? I feel like that was Seattle. Oh, it doesn't have that on here? Oh, wait, you have to go to overview. Bear with me. We're not getting there. I think he came to the Pirates from Seattle. But I don't remember who was in that trade. If you're able to look it up, it's not loading for me right now, so I'm not going to sit there and, you know, while I'm on here, I'm not going to keep looking for it. But Pitt City What said tickets at the Yankees spring training field were about 35 each, pretty good seats. And that's there. 20% buyer's premium makes it 660,000. Oh, it goes for 8 days. Okay. So you're saying right now it's sitting at 660. All right. Who's the left-handed pitcher now at the end? Oh, that's who we traded? Anderson? Was he? Oh, yeah. He came in the Anderson trade. That's his name. Tyler Anderson. There we go. We got it. Thanks for that. All right. Let's get into the injuries now. Obviously, Gerrit Cole and everybody. There's a lot of injuries going around right now. A lot of guys going to miss some time trying to figure it out. Probably the most predictable, and the one that I think is probably going to be the one that makes me the most nervous. Ke'Bryan Hayes has missed some time recently with left side tightness. They're saying they're not concerned. They're saying it's not part of the back. I'm not sure how much of that I buy. He hasn't been in a game since the 5th. It's now the 13th. They're saying he could get into game action this weekend, maybe tomorrow, maybe Saturday. But man, he was taking grounders on Monday. He was swinging by Tuesday. And so I guess I'm reading in my notes, it says they expected to make it back into the lineup on Friday. So anytime Ke'Bryan goes down with any kind of injury, we're going to be a little concerned about it. If it is the back, The disc stuff that he deals with, obviously it's a bigger deal than if it's just something else that they're not worried about, which is the way they're saying this is. Like I said, I don't know. I tend to feel like they're covering up for it. So that's it. That's how I feel. I don't have any reason to know that. So just going off of it, they're being extra cautious. They should be. At this point in spring training, you should be the most cautious with every player, not just Ke Bryan Hayes, but especially Ke Bryan Hayes. Are we worried? Let me know. Are we worried about this? Are we not because of Jared Triolo? We do have kind of like a built-in backup. And I think the way that Ke is on defense, pretty much anybody else is a downgrade. I feel like Jared Triolo could play. I mean, he won a Gold Glove as a utility player last year, but I feel like this guy could play Gold Glove caliber defense at third base. Even though it's not going to be Ke Bryan Hayes caliber, it's still like, how could you complain about that when you have a guy baked into your roster that can just step right in and not miss a beat? Offensively, I don't know, because we don't really know what we're going to get from Ke Bryan Hayes. It seems like he's trying to take it easy on his back. So you got to think that there's just a total lack of power from that. And I don't know. I tend to feel like you're not going to, with the power that you'll add from Triolo, I don't think there's a huge difference in what you're going to get from those two guys at this point, at least right now. Now, maybe we can see more from Ke. Maybe Ke Bryan comes back and he's fine and he hits and it's not a deal. But what's your thought process on Ke Bryan Hayes right now anyway? How many games does he need to give you to be worth the $7 million he's making? Obviously not a big contract, not a lot of money. So how much does he have to play? If he gives you 100 games, is he just worth it regardless of what he does at the plate? 100 games with that caliber defense? If he hits some, if it's like a 300 on base, that's not very good. So do you take that and say, yeah, but the defense makes up for it and we're good. 100 games, probably worth it. I think if he's 300 on base, I mean, you got to remember, he's got to rely on hits. He doesn't really walk a whole lot. So maybe 120 games. I'm not sure you get 120 games out of him right now. So I don't know. He comes in with a swing change. He thinks it's going to be different. And then essentially maybe same old, maybe it is actually unrelated and it's not a big deal. But something to keep an eye on, something to watch always with Ke Bryan is going to be how that is. And, you know, this roster is interesting in and of itself. When you take Triolo out of it, you really only have Frazier as a backup infielder. Just because of the way that it's built, you have a DH only in Andrew McCutchen, and you don't have a lot of guys that are going infield and outfield. Triolo can do a little bit of it. He's the one that's being pulled out. None of your outfielders can help out in the infield, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's not Jack, Pham, Reynolds, or Cruz. They're not really going to come in and play infield if you need that. So I don't know. I don't know. But to me, I think it's fine. You got Triolo on the roster, I think you're fine. If Key's going to be out for a lengthy amount of time, you've got plenty of guys, probably namely Nick York, to come up right away. Possibly Peguero. Probably not Chang. Although, if Indianapolis is further away, and Chang's in Altoona, I mean, we saw that. That's when Peguero first got called up. That's when Jack first got called up, just because they needed somebody right now. So Dave White says, I hope they trade Pham before the trade deadline. July 31st this year. Baseball announced the trade deadline would be on July 31st. So that just kind of feels normal. You don't have to worry about what day it's on, some August 2nd or whatever. It's just July 31st. I think it's 6 p.m. on July 31st. I kind of hope they trade him before the Super 2 deadline, whenever that is. But that's my take. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what Key looks like when he comes back. Maybe not too worried about him. How about Bailey Falter? Bailey Falter missed his start yesterday, right? That was yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Or maybe today? What day was he supposed to start? It was today. He was supposed to start today. Skipped his start. They said he did not recover well after playing catch, essentially. After throwing at the facility yesterday, and it's out of abundance of precaution. He's throwing today. We'll see where they go from there. This is the second time now that we've maybe questioned trading Luis Ortiz. The guy you got for Ortiz is on the IL. Oviedo's not going to make it back. He's going to stay on the 60-day for quite a while. And now Bailey Falter. Bailey Falter's missing a start. I once again, this could be nothing. But this is spring training. There's a lot of injuries happening right now. This is also the time when you're going to be extra cautious about everything. So, yeah, he's not doing well after he threw. He's throwing today. We'll see. It kind of gets me thinking, though, like Kyle Gibson's out there. So if there is something, I feel like Kyle Gibson, just bring him in. I heard him on Talking Baseball the other day. He's up to 70 pitches right now. So he's already stretching out. You could have him for a fifth starter going into the season. He could be ready by then. I think if there's any, I mean, you could also go Mike Burrows. You could also go, Burrows was one of that group that was sent down, right? Yeah. You could go Mike Burrows. I think Braxton Ashcraft is not going to be there, but Burrows is starting to get stretched out. You could do a piggyback for a couple of weeks with Majinski and Ferguson. That's possible. So, I mean, you could do something like that, but essentially, we'll see. Kyle Gibson, though, is out there. He's stretching out. Trying to think my way through some of this now, and Heaney's not looked good. Oh, yeah. So, Mailman says, can recall due to injury. Now, is that... Well, it still affects his option, though, right? I think it still affects the option. I don't think it matters there. You can recall him. And really, that could be made anytime. He was just optioned. It's not like he was removed from the 40-man or anything, so... Cubs are close to signing Lance Lynn. I did see that, Bucko Mike tells us. So I don't know. Miles says Ortiz command was off today. Really all over the place, but he looks good in a Cleveland uni and his glove is awesome. He really hasn't pitched all that well since going over there. Am I right? I feel like there's been a few outings that have been real rough for him. Once again, it's spring training. It's not like you're worried about it. We know who he is and whatever. So Mailman says an option vests after 20 days. So basically, yeah, if he gets called back, that option's not used. I will assume at some point he's going to have that option used anyway. Is that his last option? I had that pulled up earlier today and now I don't. So we're going to pull it up. Mike Burrows. Oh, okay. Maybe we won't pull it up. No, yeah, this is his last option. So Mike Burrows, this is a year for him. Because sending him down now, that's going to be his last option. Next year, he's going to have to be here, either in the bullpen, the starter, or we're going to have to move on. Anyway, the strength of this team right now, obviously the top three look really good. We haven't seen Andrew Heaney really come out and do anything great yet. I think most people are not concerned about that either. Once again, spring training. But now Bailey Falter, you know, skipping a start here. We'll see if he can bounce back and do something. But if he doesn't, then you're also looking at the same sort of thing as, hey, all of a sudden you had a strength going into the season and now you're concerned about it. Bucko Mike says the ghost of Bob Nutting invading Josh's computer. Yeah. That probably came through in the sounds too. It's basically, I think I clicked on an old link or something instead of the new one. So anyway, yeah, we'll see. I have a hard time with 2 weeks left of spring training. I have a hard time being like really concerned about this stuff. I just do. I just think it's fine. 50 players remain in spring training. If we go through that list, obviously with the non-roster guys, which they don't update after they assign them to minor league camp. But as far as pitchers, Hunter Stratton's not going to be back, I wouldn't think. Johan, I think, is still there, but that's not it. Tanner Rainey still has a shot, and I think that's it as far as the pitchers. Oh, Ryan Barucki. Ryan Barucki still has a shot. Outside of that, I got to think DJ Stewart, Nick Solak's not making this team. Gorski's not making the team. These guys are the hard ones to get in there. DJ Stewart has a chance. If he plays first base well enough, he's been playing okay. He still has a chance to be there, the 2 week to 1 month replacement for, or holdover, I guess, for Spencer Horwitz. Outside of that, you got four outfielders who get an opportunity, right? Kutch is your DH, so he doesn't count. Cruz and Reynolds are in. Pham is in. He's going to be on the team. Those are your three starters. Who gets that last spot? It's going to be between Bay. It's going to be Sawinski, Palacios, and I would even throw Billy Cook in there, even though he could technically get time at first if they wanted to go that route and one of those other guys still make it. For me, it's Sawinski right now, which that means Palacios is put on waivers. And we know that Ben Cherington essentially likes to hoard players. Is there a chance he keeps Palacios there? I feel like Palacios hasn't even been playing. Does he even have a lot of at-bats? He didn't play in the game today. Has he been hurt? Palacios has 17 plate appearances. He's played in 7 games. So not terrible. But it's not been all that great. So I find it hard to believe that Palacios is going to be the guy that they head north with, or technically head south with to Miami, when he's not even playing in games. It's 7 games. Sawinski's now 9 games. Solak 13, but we know how that goes. Bay's been in. Was he in the game today? Yeah, so that's 11 games for Bay. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. That is 12 games for Bay now. So let me know in the chat, is it Sawinski or is it Bay? Because both of them have been really showing up and playing well. You got speed from Bay, but like it's not like Sawinski's slow. Sawinski's been stealing bases. 3 or 4 already on the spring. And well, actually, it says 3 here. Triolo stole today, but not him. So it's not, he's going to have 3. Bay's had 2 and they both tried 4 times and Bay's been caught twice. Cheryl says, I want Jack. I think it almost has to be. I mean, he's played well enough that it's kind of, I mean, does he even get an opportunity to play ahead of Tommy Pham? Maybe not for opening day. They brought in Pham. He's going to play. And actually, you know, as much as Jack's hitting 128 points higher as far as batting average, but this is where it just doesn't line up. The on base is 400 and Pham's on base is 462. So Pham's on base more. Kind of hard to argue with that. It doesn't matter if you're hitting more, it matters if you're on base. So, I don't know. For me, it's Sawinski's the fourth guy in that outfield spot, and I don't think that it's much else. We're going to do a lot of this when Jake gets back on the show. I think maybe in a couple, maybe next Thursday, we're going to go through the whole roster. But I'm just kind of skimming over it right now. Just trying to get a picture of who. So if Palacios is not the guy, and then it opens up a spot for DJ Stewart to be added to take the place of Palacios, you would designate him. He would probably get picked up. You'd have an opportunity to trade him. But I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And then as far as the defense, I mean, I think it's already done. I think, or the infield, I mean. I think it's already done. I think we know who it is. Horowitz is going to be on the IL. Nick York's going to be sent down to play every day. Billy Cook is listed as an infielder, but we talked about him in the outfield, talked about him maybe for first base, but he's not really hit all that well. He's the best outfielder on the team, I would say, but he's not going to make the roster right away. He's got an option. They'll send him down. It's going to be Frazier, and it's going to be Triolo. And, I mean, they brought him in to do that. Would I do it different? Of course I would. I'd have a different shortstop, but altogether. Or maybe even just play Triolo at shortstop. But Bucko Mike says Palacios makes it through waivers. Maybe, but I mean, you're going to DFA him anyway. You're going to get him off the 40-man to make room for one of these other guys. So I don't know that he accepts an assignment. Somebody else will pick him up. Dave White says they need to ditch IKF and Frazier, but it won't happen. Yeah. I watched the fan forum a little bit earlier today, and you know, Gary makes a good point. It's not that they have a ton invested into Frazier, so they could decide that. Personally, I don't think they're going to. They like what he brings to the table. They like the veteran leadership. So I think they'll start with Frazier on the roster. And if he doesn't perform, then obviously there's options. But I said this when they signed him. I still believe it. I would rather have Frazier on the roster as that backup and not getting a lot of at-bats than Nick York. Nick York is still very young, and I want him playing every day. I mean, you're going to get better by playing every day, period. If Gonzalez gets hurt, I would leapfrog York, put him at second base every day, and continue Frazier with his role. Unless he's tearing it up. Anybody can win a job for a minute. You know what I mean? So, Mailman, if it's his first time being designated, he can't turn it down. Interesting. I think he has been. Didn't we get him off of waivers? But if it's his first time with the Pirates or first time this season, maybe? I don't know that one. Thanks for bringing that up. Ethan, I'm sure you'll let me know. Ethan Houlihan will listen and let me know where I'm wrong there. But I thought that if you were assigned and you were, I mean, he's 29 years old, and I thought that he had been designated before with Washington. Rule 5. Okay. Good point. So we got him in Rule 5, not really designated. Okay. But he was in the majors, right? He didn't debut with us, did he? Am I that far off? He was with Toronto. He played with Toronto. He played with Washington both before he was here. He was selected off waivers by the Nationals from the Blue Jays and selected off waivers by the Pirates from the Nationals. So I don't think it was Rule 5. I didn't think so. It was a waiver in December. Minor league rule 5. Okay. That's fair. All right. I'll trust you because I don't know. So I'm going to trust that Melman's bringing us some truth here. Thank you for that. Yeah. So that's basically it. Nick York plays every day. Adam Frazier assumes that role of a backup. And I honestly don't have an issue with this. I mean, I've always liked Adam Frazier. That kind of helps with that. I know that he's not what he was the last time he was in Pittsburgh, but, you know, there's something to like in the player anyway. If you don't have a guy that has to have that position in the roster, then I'm not too worried about it. And right now, I just don't see the Pirates having that guy. You're not going to play Bay in the infield anymore. And Bay's been playing. He's the only one really playing well enough to really force his way here. And I'm not putting Nick York on the bench. I want him playing. Now, if you were to make a case for Gonzalez to play short and Nick York to play second, and then IKF can assume the role of Frazier, I could see Frazier going away. I don't think they're willing to do that. They're all in on IKF. They're all in. I'll even say this. They're all in on IKF's defense. So, I don't know. The metrics say one thing, but watching him throw to first looks like It's everything he has to get it there. So I don't think I'm there with him. I don't see it. But that's what they like. That's what they're seeing. Overall, guys, we're going to wrap this up. This was obviously with a solo tonight and, you know, nothing totally crazy going on. We're going to shorten this up a little bit. We're going to watch Bailey Falter in the next few days, see what they say about him and how he's doing. And obviously Key Brian comes back this weekend and starts playing in some games and seeing how he holds up. Other than that, I mean, we're getting really close to knowing exactly who this team is out of spring training and knowing exactly what we're taking into the regular season. We're there. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll start thinking about the ceiling for this team and where they fit in this division and where they fit in the National League. Do they have a shot to go anywhere? It's all still there. Let me see what we got planned. Oh, you know what? Sunday will be our wear your green. St. Patrick's Day next Monday. So, you know, in true redhead fashion, we'll be wearing our green. But we're going to predict the roster. We're going to set some lineups. We're going to do all that kind of stuff. I've got my little timeline here in front of me of all the things and what days we're going to talk about things. And then it looks like our 2025 predictions and projections episode where we get everything wrong is going to be next Thursday. So that'll be fun. And then we're out of spring training after that, pretty much. We're going into the regular season. It's been a long off season. Appreciate everybody being here with us all off season and all those things. It's been a fun one, I guess you could say. It's not been. Anyway, that's all I'm going to have for tonight. I appreciate you guys as always. Thanks for sticking around and back on Sunday. I believe Jake will be back. I hope he'll be back, but I believe he will be back on Sunday and we'll be good to go. Appreciate you guys. Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.